The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
You're very welcome back to The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cuddihy with you until 7 o'clock. And we are coming to you live from the roof of News Talk Towers today for the Hard Shoulder Summer Special. We are celebrating the good weather while we are having it. And I know lots of you will be celebrating the good weather today by cooking outdoors. You will barbecue, I'm sure. I'm sure you've been barbecuing over the last few days. The weather has been fairly good now for some time. Simon Tierney, are you a barbecuer?
Yeah, I'm really into it. I barbecued for 16 people on Saturday.
Whoa,
which I was very
big,
impressed
big
with.
Deal.
Yeah, we got a...
Talk me through the logistics of that now.
Well, we got a gift of a really big barbecue. We had a small little camping barbecue, which we were very loyal to for many years. But now we got this massive barbecue. It's a cattle barbecue. A circular, spherical one. And we made homemade burgers, sausages, of course. Any Irish barbecue has sausages.
Of course.
Know? And we had did vegetable skewers. And they all went down very well.
Chicken
which is
or
really
fish?
Nice. No chicken or fish, no.
Interesting. Yeah. Andrea Gilligan is a big fish barbecuer.
Really?
Would barbecue, she on her own, she's there in the evening, she'd go out and barbecue a bit of fish.
Yeah,
barbecue
grilled
full
fish
sea bass
is
the other day.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, a grill, it is a grill. It's gas. Yours is not gas.
Charcoal
is it?
All the way.
Oh, I knew you'd be a purist.
Yeah, I am a purist when it comes to it because it's easier than people think to use charcoal. We tend to edge towards convenience with these sort of things, particularly in Ireland where, you know, it might be lashing rain in 5 minutes time. You know, let's do it quickly.
But why is the charcoal so? Because we have a gas barbecue. It's hot in 30 seconds and then I can turn up and down the heat.
Yeah. But
you can't do any of that.
Yeah. So why don't you just cook in your kitchen on your oven?
Because society frowns on me drinking at 3 o'clock in the day with my children around. You know?
But if you have a barbecue,
it's not so much against the rules, but more frowned upon.
Yeah.
But you can do that when you're barbecuing.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, that's a really good excuse, but it's easier than you think.
Okay.
You get a really beautiful smoky flavor. It takes a little bit of effort. There's something peculiar and very life-affirming about actually getting a barbecue going.
Yeah.
And you feel...
Man tends fire.
Yes.
You see, it's your caveman roots.
It's my caveman roots. That's what it is.
Yeah. They didn't have lighter fluid, and you can get a great kick out of that. Everyone gets a great kick out of that. Anyway, the barbecue, where does it come from? What's the history of the barbecue?
Yeah, it's a funny one because it really... The word barbecue, like from an etymological perspective, that tells us a lot about it. When Christopher Columbus landed in what we would describe as Haiti now, in 1492... Hispaniola, as he called it.
Little Spain, is it?
Little Spain. The Taino people, the native people to that island, they were doing a method of cooking called barbacoa. And this basically means sacred fire pit in English. They had a pit in the ground, which they laid a fire in, and then they had some posts, some poles around it, and then a wooden kind of mesh or grill on top. They would barbecue, they would cook fish and small reptiles like iguana and things like that. And the crew, Columbus's crew, they took to it. They really liked this idea.
I'm sure they did. They probably had, most of them had rickets or scurvy, but they had been eating biscuits and...
Yeah, exactly. And
rum.
Salted cod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they wanted something different. So the idea of a barbecued iguana was actually really pleasant for them.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's many people barbecuing iguana this afternoon.
Not in Ireland. I would guess.
You'd have to find a pet iguana. That's just cruel, Kieran. That's just cruel.
But as a name, you can't barbecue it. I think that's the rule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then it spread as colonialism spread, into the new world of the American states subsequent to that. But in a modern sense, the barbecue is a lot more recent, perhaps, than people think. The idea of heading down to Woody's or B&Q to buy a barbecue.
Yeah.
That's only about 70 years old, that idea. You couldn't buy a barbecue before 1952. You had to make your own barbecue. You had to build one in your backyard or in your garden.
Okay, and was that a thing? Was there a culture of building a fire pit with a grill over it in your garden?
Yeah, absolutely. So in the post-war period, particularly in America, when you've got this expanding middle class, you've got the suburbanization of American cities, and suddenly people want to cook outside. Not suddenly, but it's just that the kind of the infrastructure around that culture starts to build and domesticate, and people are building braziers and brick barbecues in the back of their yards and their gardens and stuff. But there was a fellow by the name of George Stephen, and he worked for a company whose name will be very, very familiar to anyone who's ever browsed the barbecue aisle in your local outdoor shop. He worked for a company called Weber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Weber barbecues are very famous to this day. They're a market leader, but...
obviously weren't making barbecues at the time.
No, they weren't. They were actually making... they were a metalworks, and they made nautical buoys that you would see in a harbour, you know, for navigation purposes.
Yeah.
Those big metal buoys. That's what they made those. Now, one of the ones that he worked on in the factory was a spherical kettle-shaped one. And he was a barbecuer. He had built his own barbecue in his back garden. And he thought, what would happen if I made a barbecue using a half kettle buoy? So he cut it in half.
Yeah.
He used the top as a lid and he used the bottom to hold the charcoal. And he put a grill on top, put three legs on it. He'd built a prototype of what the company would go on to make its fortune from.
And
that was 1952.
Today. Still available to this day. But that's the kind of the classic...
Yeah, put a couple of
imagination.
A couple of vents in it so that he could control the heat. But what he'd hit on, which is really important, I think, and you know, people talk about, well, what type of barbecue, if you're into charcoal barbecue, what type of one should you get? And you called me a purist earlier, Kieran. I think you're probably right, because I would tend to feel that the best barbecues are the kettle ones. And that's, when I say kettle, I mean the kind of the spherical ones. Because what George Stephen realized was that kettle shape, that curved shape, it keeps the smoke moving around, particularly if you have the lid on it, and it pushes the smoke and the heat back down onto the food. So it's constantly moving around. You've got great circulation inside it. And that worked very well for really achieving that nice barbecue flavor that people are always looking for.
And the charcoals themselves, I mean, where do they come from? Or were people in the 1950s, was this guy working in Weber, was he using the charcoals we use today?
Very, very similar, yeah. The charcoal, commercially available charcoal predates commercially available barbecues, if that makes sense. It was actually Henry Ford, a little footnote to his career that a lot of people aren't aware of, is that he kind of invented the charcoal briquette.
Right.
So what he did was, when he was producing the Model T, his most famous early vehicle at least, what was that, like the first decade of the 20th century, first and second decade, he had a huge amount of byproduct, waste material from the amount of wood that was used in Model T's.
Oh, yeah.
Steering wheels, even the wheels of the car were made of wood. Yeah. Old cars, you know, the first half of the 20th century, there's so much wood used in cars. He thought, is there something that we can do with this that we can make a bit of extra cash, or just at least reduce the amount of waste that we're creating? So they burned the wood chippings. But they chipped all the waste, and then they burned it until it was charcoal.
Mm.
Then they powdered that, turned it into powder, mixed it with a binder, and put it back together again into the shape of a little pillow. And that's what a charcoal briquette is.
Wow.
And he realized that there was a huge market for this fuel. People wanted this for their backyard barbecues. So it was Henry Ford. If you're pouring charcoal into that barbecue this evening, thank Henry Ford.
And there's a great little story for people if they're entertaining, like Simon was over the weekend. Pick up one of those before you light it, ideally. Pick it up and you can show people that little pillow shape and explain to them exactly where it came from and what the story behind it is. Simon Tierney, an absolute pleasure. Simon, thank you very much for the potted history of the barbecue. Stay with us. Plenty more to come today for the Heart Shoulder Summer Special, broadcasting live from the roof of News Talk Towers. Right now, though, we'll get the news headlines. Here's Eamon.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.